Today, once again, we have a kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God parable from Jesus. This time, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. Being invited to any wedding banquet would have been an honor, but to be invited to the wedding banquet of the king's son, now that is a really big deal. So the king sends out his messengers to let those who were worthy of this invitation know that it was time to come. We heard what happened. Those who had a high status in the kingdom, those who were seen as worthy, they ignored the invitation. The king issues another invitation to them. This dual invitation was actually a common practice for banquets during that time. Those who were invited would wait to see who else was going before they decided to go or not. Sounds like it could happen here in modern times to any party invitation. The difference being that in modern times, we just want to know who's going to be there to see if maybe we have anything common with them, to see if we think it's going to be a good time. But for then, for that time, it had to do with honor. They wanted to see if those who showed up were of less honor and less status than themselves, because this could taint them. It could actually make them lose their own status. So the second invitation is sent. Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But this time, they did not ignore the invitation. They responded with violence and killing the messengers. After the king retaliates with his own violence, he announces, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited, they were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." So the messengers did just that. They went out into the streets and they gathered all whom they found, both the good and the bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. It would have been clear to Matthew's listeners that the original invitations were sent to the people of Israel. They were the chosen people, the children of God. They were to maintain a holy relationship or covenantal relationship with God. They were, as a people, waiting for their Messiah. They were waiting for the fulfillment of scriptures, for the arrival of the Son from the Davidic line. The eyes of those who were elite and worthy enough to get invited to the wedding banquet for this king's son, they missed their chance. They could not see the Messiah in front of them because the Messiah came not as an elite, powerful person like they were expecting, but a poor servant to all. What we read about covenantal relationships with God throughout scriptures lets us know that they are never lived out perfectly. Since the beginning of humanity, we have seen a cyclical pattern with our relationships with God. God establishes a covenant with us. We do well for a while. We end up breaking the covenant. We realize that we can't live without that holy relationship. So we as a people, we repent, and God reestablishes another covenant with us. It's one of the telltale signs of a loving and merciful God. This parable welcomes us into a deeper understanding of a loving God. When we see that this new covenantal relationship with God, it's no longer only the righteous. This is how we know that. But what about the man who was invited to the banquet? He accepted the invitation and then finds himself being kicked out for not wearing the proper wedding robe. I've always had some sense of sympathy for this guy. He gets kicked out for not wearing the right clothes. I've been in some of those churches. But this would never happen here at St. Paul's. We don't have a dress code. We are come as you are, congregation. Be it a coat and tie or shorts and flip-flops, everyone belongs here. Is he really to be punished for not wearing the proper clothing? I'm sure this guy did not even own the proper robe. Now, the thing about wedding robes is that the king would have provided every guest with the proper robe. No one else at that banquet owned their own robe, except possibly those in the wedding party. So, what's up with this guy? I mean, was he a secret spy or something? Was he a protester? Was he a voice crying out against elitist customs? Maybe, I guess, but my heart doesn't think so. The man who gets kicked out for not wearing the proper robe is a warning for Matthew's listeners. It's not a warning about the end times, though, but it's a lesson about discipleship. The man got kicked out for only showing up and not participating in the invitation that he accepted. He accepted the invitation to be part of the body of Christ, but he did not live as Christ did. He was a hypocrite. He claimed to be a believer and follower of Jesus, but he was only willing to just show up. He would not do the work that he was called to do. He was not living as a reflection of Jesus to the world. This would have woken up Matthew's community. It should wake us up too. It needs to wake us up. But I still have one problem. Covenantal relationships are not perfect. They get established, we mess up, we repent, and our relationship with God and others is restored. So what's so wrong with just showing up? In Brené Brown's book, Daring Greatly, she shared a story about her daughter Ellen, who was distraught and crying when Brené picked her up from swim practice one day. The girls' coach had assigned her to swim the 100-meter breaststroke for the weekend's meet. Ellen desperately told her mother, "I can't swim the breaststroke. I'm terrible. I begged Coach not to put me in that event." Ellen looked at Brené right in the eyes. "Please, Mom, please help me. I'm still going to be swimming when the other girls are getting out of the pool. And the next heat is going to be getting on the blocks. I'm really that slow." As parents, we don't want to rescue our children from difficult and embarrassing situations. Growing up, Brené had her share of doing poorly on the swim team, so she totally understood her daughter's worries. As they talked about the situation, the daughter begged, "Mom, will you help me? Will you talk to the coach and see if he'll put me in another race?" So like many parents, Brené wanted to say, "Yes, of course you don't have to swim any event that you don't want to swim, ever." But she didn't. Brené took a deep breath, counted to five, and said, "Let me talk to your dad." Stall tactic. After the kids went to bed, Brené and her husband Steve spent an hour debating the issue and finally agreed that Ellen would have to take it up with her coach. If he wanted her to swim the race, she needed to swim it. As right as the decision felt, Brené hated every minute of it. Ellen was upset when her parents told her their decision, and even more upset when she came home from practice to report that her coach still wanted her to swim the event. Ellen folded her arms on the table, she put her head down, and she cried. At one point, she lifted up her head and said, "I could just scratch the event." a lot of people miss their heats. Brené realized that this was an opportunity to redefine what was important. Brené said, you can scratch the event. If I were you, I'd probably consider that option. But what if your goal for the race isn't to win, or even to get out of the water at the same time as the other girls? What if your goal is to show up and get wet? Brené said, sometimes the bravest and most important thing you can do is just to show up. On the day of the meet, when it was time for the girls to get on the blocks, Ellen stood in her lane and looked right at her parents across the pool. She nodded her head and snapped her goggles into place. It's true, as expected, Ellen did not win. In fact, she was the last one out of the pool. The other swimmers had already left the deck, and there were girls standing on the blocks ready for the next heat. Brené and Steve cheered like mad people the entire time, as parents do, supporting their child. When she finally made her way to her parents, she was smiling and a little tearful. She announced, that was pretty bad, but I did it. I showed up and I got wet. I was brave. I think sometimes we just have to show up. Walking with Jesus is hard, and there's no room for perfection. We show up, and sometimes we are wearing the proper robe. Other times we show up, and we are not a reflection of the Jesus we profess. This is when we need to turn to the getting wet part. In our baptisms, we not only show up, but we get wet. The covenantal relationship we establish in our baptism lets us know that it is only with God's help that keeps us swimming. Amen.